This is Strange Harbor.
4,500 years, 2,500 BC. It's called it's BA 243. It's in a museum in Berlin. It's well dated. Called the Granting of the Plow. But this is what makes this special right here. Solar system, right? Sun, Mercury, Venus, Earth, in their relative sizes, mind you. Earth, Moon, Mars, and then what should be here? This should be the asteroid belt. This is Nibiru, folks. Nibiru. Jupiter, Saturn, Pluto as a moon of Saturn, Uranus, Neptune. Notice that it's only a little bit bigger than Uranus, Neptune. It's about three times bigger than Earth. Did it occur to any of you that we were looking at a cylinder seal carved 4,500 years ago that had Uranus in it that we only discovered in 1781 when our telescopes got good enough to see it? It had Neptune when we discovered in 1846 when our telescopes got good enough to see it, and Pluto, which we discovered in 1930 when our mathematicians got good enough to tell our astronomers where to look for the thing, because it was so small. What are the Sumerians doing knowing about that? Furthermore, what are they doing writing in one of their tablets that if you look at these two, Uranus and Neptune, in the heavens, meaning right out on them, they look like blue-green watery twins? When we didn't find that out, we thought they were just big old gas bags like Jupiter and Saturn until Voyager went out there in 86 and 89 and found that, lo and behold, they really are blue-green watery twins. What the Sumerians said 4,500 years ago. Furthermore, they didn't count the way we do. Earth was not the third rock from the sun for them. It was number seven. So that means they were counting from out here and they were putting Pluto in its correct place. What are they doing with all that knowledge? Well, they make no bones about it. They say everything that we know, everything that we are, everything that we have comes from the people living on Nibiru. The people living on Nibiru came to Earth and gave us everything that we have, everything that you know, our great culture. What's the proof of that? Is there any proof that any ancient advanced civilization was ever on Earth at any point in the dim or distant past? Yes, yes, the megalithic structures out there, the pyramids, Tiahuanaco, Baalbek, Teotihuacan, Stonehenge, you name it, a couple of dozen of them. All of those are impossible for human beings to recreate today. And yet we are told in another one of these great fantasies that they were somehow created by people in ancient times, ancient Egyptians or ancient Sumerians or anybody. And it's just absolute malarkey, impossible.
Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, and all things strange. This is Strange Harbor.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird.
The strange, the unwilling, and the unabridged.
Johnny and Billy here, and we talk about UFOs and Sasquatch and near-death, afterlife, ghosts. What else do we talk about? Ghosts, goblins?
Just about anything paranormal, anything that steps out of the shadows and bites you.
Right, so. Right. So I'm the Bigfoot guy, you're the near-death guy, and we have guests.
Yes, we do. In studio, even.
Wow, this is a treat.
It is.
We usually can't get people to come in.
Yeah.
Well, we're not scared.
No, we're not afraid at all.
So go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Well, I'm Shelia Canada, and I'm the Vice President for Starshine Gathering.
I'm Anita Euler, the President for Starshine Gathering.
What is Starshine Gathering?
Basically, we're a community of folks that are on alternative spiritual paths, and we're just trying to build community here in the Grays Harbor to be supportive for folks that are on those alternative spiritual paths, and so that they have a safe space to gather together.
So we created that space on a quarterly basis here in Aberdeen at the South Shore Mall, now known as Shops of the Riverside. We gathered there with vendors, speakers, demonstrations, workshops, and we bring that to the people here in Grays Harbor County, where we often had to go outside this area to find that fellowship, that camaraderie, that inspiration. We decided to bring it here to Grays Harbor County.
And when you talk about having vendors and different people, what kind of vendors do you have?
We have vendors that are unique artists. Some folks make things that are what's considered dark art, things that might have skeletons or things like that. But we also have folks that make things that have unicorns and fairies and just things that are more from a supernatural realm or from alternative alternate universes. We also have folks that do traditional medicine, folks that do healing, where they do energy healing like Reiki.
Yes.
We also have folks that like do things like read tarot cards or cast the runes. We have folks that make beautiful art that isn't, you know, like a bowl of fruit. You know, they make something that's more where you have to sit and look at it for a long period of time to see the message that's hidden in it. So
what got you involved in all this? How did you come to want to bring all these people together?
Well, Jillian and I have been in the community for a long time. Myself, about 2000, I started walking the path, and often always had to go outside of this area to find the vendors, to find the inspiration. We would often visit Pagan Pride in Seattle. We would go to different events, different gatherings outside of Grace Harbor County. And through an experience that we shared a year ago, we did Harvest Moon Symposium, and we were support at that time, and we decided that we could do this. We could recreate this for our community, and that's where we learned how to approach vendors, how to organize vendors, how to present vendors in a way that they could be open and available to people here in this community.
Yeah.
And it grew out of our group called Pagans in the Park of Grace Harbor.
Oh,
and that was just a group where we got together weekly. During the nice parts of the year, we would gather in different parks all over Grace Harbor. And then during the winter months, we would meet in local libraries. And it was just a way for us to get together, have a potluck, talk about all of our different beliefs. We have folks that are from all different kinds of spiritual paths. And it was just a family-friendly place where we could all come together and have a community. And it got to the point where it was too much of a burden on too few people to do that every week. So we tried to figure out a way to make it where it was more on a quarterly basis so that we could have a bigger event, and that's where we added vendors and workshops and things.
And what personal beliefs led you to this?
I found this path being raised Pentecostal. I found a lot of the doctrine was too heavy, too structured, that it didn't feel I needed to live in fear of my God or my spirituality. I wanted something that was loving, that was open, that was inclusive. And I found that with paganism. I found the community that was open to my way of thinking, of communing with earth, and working with medicines that are natural, working with people who are natural and in touch and in love and open to each other. And that's what led me through this path. I did some studying. I walked a couple of different paths. And then I found a coming together with people in my community is what was really important to me.
Yeah. Now, sometimes on television, paganism is portrayed as sacrificing virgins and drinking goat's blood and all that kind of stuff. Is that real?
Not for us. I'm sure that there's people out there that think that that's something cool to do, but we don't find love in that.
Okay.
So
right.
most of us that are involved in our community are folks that are looking for, that see love in everyone and everything around them. So sacrificing things, animals and drinking blood and things like that, or virgins, would not be part of that.
No, not at all.
And so tell us what is paganism? So what is that system of belief?
Paganism is very, very broad because it covers pretty much any belief system that's not with the Abrahamic religion. So whether that's Judaism or Christianity or So it is pretty much all those faiths that were before that or separate from that, that don't have that Abrahamic influence. There are some folks that consider themselves Christian witches, and there are some folks that follow like the Kabbalah and things like that. But pretty much, it's going to be belief systems that hail from the Celtic regions of the world, or the Germanic regions of the world, or the Eastern European regions of the world, or it is very broad, so it's really hard to just narrow it down.
Yeah.
I guess the best way is a belief that folks that believe that everything around us is alive and is filled with love and light and energy that we are able to tap into.
We find ourselves more often in touch with the earth, the cycles, the wheel of the year, the things that are happening, that cultivating, harvesting, working with our communities in a way that is in touch more with the earth and the flow and the energy of the earth, rather than consumption and consuming and corporate type of lifestyle, that type of structure, that doctrine, that evil, that you're living in the fear. That's not a part of who we are, what
yeah.
we want to bring into our life. Living in peace and in love is what's really, truly important.
I think that's wonderful, and I've had several near-death experiences, and every time that I've been out of body in the universe and spoken with the powers that be there, that's the exact message that I've gotten. That's why we're here. That's why we have a spirit on earth that is in our bodies, is to promote love, to take care of the planet. We are the stewards of this planet.
Yes.
To care about one another, to bring people together. All of the things you just said are almost verbatim what I was told from my near-death experience.
That's yeah. amazing. That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah. So it speaks very loudly to me.
Yeah. It's understanding. I've just always known that everything around me was alive mm-hmm. and was something that I could connect with. And so I found this path because going towards traditional doctrines or belief systems just weren't a way for me were not an avenue for me to connect
yeah.
with spirit, connect with the energy of the universe. And so figuring it out for myself through what is considered quote-unquote pagan practices is what has brought me fulfillment in my life.
Yeah.
And I really believe that everybody has their own individual path, and nobody's path is wrong. Our goal is to not put down or denigrate anybody that's from a different path. It's to help make sure that we're building supportive community for those of us that are on an alternative path.
That sounds wonderful. So when, if you don't have like physical churches, or do you have like regular times you do, prayers or worship or anything of that nature?
When we do, the community is based on helping bring people together so that they can find folks that they could do that with. We're not sponsoring things like public rituals or things like that. We do small little things, like at the Starshine gatherings we have an altar display where different folks from different paths can have a little mini altar that gives folks that are coming from the outside an idea of what they would look like. Because, if you were not a Catholic and you had never been in a Catholic church, you wouldn't have any idea what it looks like when you come into a church and see all the candles on display or something
right.
like that. So this is a way for the community to come and see all these different paths.
This specific event coming up on October 20th is honoring our ancestors, which is a time that in the wheel of the year, the veil is very thin and opens up to communicating with those spirits that are connected with your soul, with your spirit that you walk with you in the past and beside you on a daily basis. So this is a time when we honor that in October, and we're bringing that to light. We focus on our four events. Each have kind of a direct focus to that wheel of the year, which we like to bring that avenue, and we alter our altars to fit in with each one of these types of events.
Yeah, when we get to this time of the year, this is usually the October gathering is our most popular gathering because everybody's curious about witches and,
yes.
and wizards mm-hmm. and all these things that go bump in the night that we are working with every day, not just at this time. So it's important because many of us, not all pagan paths, but many of us call on our ancestors and work with our ancestors every day. So this becomes a special time when we can let them know that we love them and we honor their life that they had before and that we're looking to the future ahead of future generations ahead of us and that we're honoring them, their path, our path, and the future path.
So in correlation with that, we bring in readers and healers, people who have used divination to assist those in need. You know, there's a lot of us that use that as a daily tool. Some of this is important to give others that are interested, curious, that avenue to reach out and to find this in a safe environment and with reputable people that are from their own area here that they can reach out to, that they can maybe find assistance with. People who are hurting, having illnesses, and healers that are working with naturopathic tendency, they are bringing that to us here in Grace Harbor County. We try to find what we can and use people that are here locally, and then we bring in spotlight folks as well from other areas in Washington State and try to spotlight them as well.
That sounds very interesting. Do you do any kind of rituals at the event?
We do an opening prayer. We do a closing prayer.
Yeah.
We include everyone there, all of the vendors. I do a healing meditation called Healer's Wheel. It's a guided meditation and connecting you with the earth and above and below, sending out healing energy to the universe and to all those that you may love or care about that may need healing energy. We have workshops available that bring in people who bring in meditation and music who may be helping people craft or build something, a talisman. We have people who are creating, helping people to create bisoms. Bisoms are used in our path for protection and for guidance and for sweeping out negative energy. Those are the kind of things that we'd like to bring in and to offer to each and every one.
Do you have like energy healers then?
Mm-hmm.
People
yes.
who are like Reiki masters and mm-hmm. and I don't know what other kind of energy healers are out there.
We have hands on.
What other kind of energy healers are out there?
Yeah,
there's lots of them out there that you could use. Mostly Reiki healers are that are within our community. There's folks that also do hypnotherapy to help people deal with issues or things that they're trying to let go with in their lives,
mm-hmm.
or help them heal a trauma from the past.
Right.
We have folks that can help you connect to past lives, so you can work
Ooh.
On stuff, some karma that you're having to work with.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes that stuff comes up in our lives, and we start to realize there's something that's holding me back or holding me down,
mm-hmm.
and someone that can connect you with some of the history in your past lives can help you kind of highlight, oh, well, maybe that's why this is happening,
mm-hmm.
and help you find ways to heal that.
Heal it, release it, let it
go. Mm-hmm.
So how does karma work?
Explain that real quick, will you?
I'm not an expert on that. But from my personal understanding of it is that during the previous lives that I have lived on this planet, I accumulated a sort of debt.
Uh-huh.
And that was a debt that's been accumulated and I've been working on in all those previous lives. And I don't know what all those previous lives are. I've only done work on a few of them. I've learned a lot of lessons from them and understood my purpose here right now in this life, trying to heal some of those wounds.
It could have been a general in a war where you were forced to kill many people, and you're releasing that energy from that past life now, focusing on healing others and giving your life more of a giving rather than a taking aspect of your life to relieve that karma, that past karma from a past life or a harm that you've done. even as a child in this life, you can accumulate karma in this life too that you need to focus on and realize that it's okay to let go of that karma. You realize what it was that you had done wrong, and in making an honest and heartfelt vow not to ever let that occur again is dealing with your karma.
And then we can, you know, many of us, like Anita and myself, we believe that that karma we work on so that we get to the point that after many lives, we've worked through all that pain and trauma and we've healed our souls enough that we don't have to keep coming back.
That's interesting.
When you find the people that you bring, like tarot readers, runes, things like that, how do you vet them? Like find a quality tarot reader instead of someone that's, you know, maybe not a quality reader.
Well, the best way is to actually have them read for you.
Yeah.
So that's usually how that is how we have vetted everybody that's there.
Mm-hmm.
We have actually experienced one of us that's within our organizing group has at least experienced each one of them so that we understand their process
mm-hmm.
and making sure that it's not a charlatan or things like that.
Right.
I know that there's some people that are, and that's why we also offer it in this format. It's a, like Anita said, it's a safe space where folks are not in, you know, somebody's home or something like that, where they're
right.
in a public venue
mm-hmm.
where they can experience this or they can even witness and just observe. They don't have to even, some people are just curious and just want to observe some things like that. So.
And often, like we mentioned early on, is going out into the community, going into the pagan prides, going to the other events and festivals.
Mm-hmm.
And often, with the intent of finding the type of people that we know that would work with us here, would be interested in coming here, would have a product of value to the community here, handmade products, you know, tested and sustainable products,
mm-hmm.
candles and beeswax rather than paraffin type of thing where you have natural products and herbs. Those are the type of things and vendors that we're looking for. And we make an effort and we go out and we find them. And then we talk to them and we present to them and
we go to Renaissance festivals and Pagan Pride and all these different metaphysical festivals. And Anita and I are walking around with our little stack of cards and we talk to people. We talk to the vendors.
Yeah.
And we look at their products and we look at their skills and we experience their skills. And if it's somebody that we think would be a benefit to the community, we invite them. So we try to make sure that it's, you know, a healthy, safe environment for everybody.
Right. What about the darker aspects?
The dark side.
The dark side.
Yeah. Well, there can't be any light without the dark.
A lot of our readers, you know, like to hear about that and learn about that. So.
Yeah, and people are really attracted to that. And at this time of year, that's why I said at this time of year, our October gathering is the most popular one, because a lot of people are attracted to that or curious, or, you know, why else do people watch scary movies in October? Because they're interested in kind of that dark energy. But like I said, you can't have the light without the dark, and understanding that sometimes we have to unearth those shadows in order to work through things and to bring healing and light to those things and heal them in our life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we don't do anything that has to do anything negative that would hurt anybody or
like send out
virgin. Yeah or sending out negative energy. But we understand that what is considered dark does not mean necessarily evil.
Right.
And then there are sides that you need to protect yourselves, and teaching, and that is a philosophy that you have to protect yourself. And then protecting yourself is not necessarily taking away someone else's free will, but that it's important to do the work, to do the hard work, to do the salting, to do the protection and the grounding for yourself and for your own energy and for those that you love and care about is important.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important to because you open yourself to things that can go bump in the night.
Mm-hmm.
Protecting, working with others, healing. People carry negative energy with them unawares. And if you're working with them and trying to heal them and help them, you have to be careful for yourself that you're not taking on that darkness from them yourself. So
yes.
There's definitely work that needs to be done. There's knowledge that needs to be learned before you can go forth and to give this work out to the those that are needed, to those people that need it.
A good example is if we were requested to do clearing somebody's house, they're moving into a new house, and they just feel uncomfortable with it, or it's just something that they do whenever they move into a new, like say they're getting a new rental. We wouldn't go into that home without grounding, connecting to the earth, and shielding ourselves, where we visualize a shield of healing light protecting us and surrounding us. We would be fools to walk into that house blind and not protect it. So some of the things that we can teach people at these workshops and at our communal gatherings is teaching them how to protect themselves, because there is evil and darkness in the world.
Sure.
Absolutely.
And you know, obviously we work towards love and light, but you shouldn't be a fool walking around thinking that evil doesn't exist, because it does.
It does. It does. Yeah.
In many, many forms.
I used to try to think that it didn't, you know, but it does. That tends.
You're going to end up being a victim if you're walking around thinking it doesn't exist.
I had a friend who was kind of accident prone, and he would get into car accidents and just crazy little things, He said, you know, people are always driving too close to him. That's why he gets in accidents. And he was always tripping and falling over things or knocking things over. And I taught him how to build a wall of light around himself. Mm-hmm. And he stopped having car accidents. And he stopped tripping and falling. And he stopped knocking things over.
Yeah.
And this was a very brilliant man. I mean, this wasn't somebody walking through life without a clue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was a PhD in psychology. He, you know, he pretty much knew his way around life in that way. But by teaching him to do something that emanated from within himself, it kept that at bay. It kept those accidents away from him.
Yeah. Sometimes if we're a personality where we're so much in our head, you know, we're about the wisdom that we have and all that, and focused on that, sometimes we can lose connection with the earth and with the balance in our bodies.
Right.
So it's so wonderful that you were able to help him.
It's I think that what you're doing is wonderful, first of all, and that I think that paganism is probably the most misunderstood belief system because of, you know, television and movies and such, who have always portrayed it in a negative way.
It's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird. More coming up with the event coordinators of the Starshine Gathering coming up October 20th at the Shops at Riverside Mall.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
Well, it's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, and the Starshine Gathering honoring our ancestors is coming up October 20th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Shops at Riverside Mall. That's Unit 20. Do we know offhand which Unit 20 is? Is it like, it's next to this, or?
It's next to Sears.
Okay.
It was the old bank.
Okay.
And it's a wonderful 12,000 square foot venue that has some private offices and a three-section open area for all of our vendors. Readers can have a little bit of privacy if you want to have your cards read, or if you want to have a healing session, that gives you a little bit of privacy. We have the private speaker section where you can go in and listen to the speakers without having to be interrupted, and the workshops in a separate area where you can go in and get messy and clean up and have fun all over. We're kid friendly. We have a child section with crafting for making masks, a wonderful face painter. We have Henna by Holly, who does readings through Henna, and it's just really going to be a great great event.
Oh, and don't forget the costume contest, too. We want everybody to come in their Halloween finery.
Awesome.
So,
and in all the fun and events and all of the speakers, our primary focus is our community. And our primary focus at each and every event is a local nonprofit agency. And for October's event, we have Revival of Grace Harbor County. We are asking for collections and donations of coats, hats, gloves, and socks that will be dispersed through the Revival of Grace Harbor to our community right here in Grace Harbor County. And each event is, we host a different nonprofit. We've had Columbia Wellness joining us. We've had TOLUS. We also sponsor the Quinault Wellness Gardens, Southside Pollen Patch and Cultivating Roots Gardens, Clean Streams and Means. We like to work with our community and give back to our community. So it's not just about fun shopping or learning, too. It's for a purpose.
We get to pay it forward,
our community.
That's wonderful. I think that we need more of that, lots and lots more.
Yeah.
So how do you celebrate the solstices?
Well, the solar holidays are four of them. So you have your winter solstice, which is usually around the 21st or the 22nd. Just depends on how the year works out. And that is the shortest day of light during the year.
Yes.
So the winter solstice is a celebration of light. Because we are in so much darkness, we want to honor the light and the changing over. So we have that short day. Then the next day, we have more light. So we have that forward thinking, and we're being optimistic about not being stuck in the darkness of winter. Then we have the spring equinox, which is the next solar festival. And that's when everything is in time with the sun is equal, where you have equal day and night. Then we have the summer solstice, which is in June, and that's usually around the 21st or the 22nd, and that's the longest day of light. So we're celebrating the light and how much it gives us in fertile soils and in our gardens and in our lives and all that vitamin D that we get to soak in, and it's daylight until 9:30 at night. You know, it's that solar festival. Then we have the autumn equinox, which is in September, which we just had, and that's usually around the 21st, and that's, again, it's a day when day and night are equal.
Yes.
So that's and that goes back to the ancient time of agrarian times when people worked with the land and their lives were dependent on the sunlight and the seasons. And so they would honor those times of the year because they knew that that's when they planned things after or before all of those solar festivals.
And as we mentioned earlier, you can't have light without darkness. In the wheel of the year, that is also very true. And our solstices is we're celebrating the light, the growing, the spring, everything's flourishing. But then everything has to rest, and you go into your darkness time of the year. Everything, we as humans, animals, plants, the earth needs to rest, and that's the time of the darkness, is where you do inner searching, inner work. And in the spring is where you're out and you're blooming, and so it corresponds, and that's how we celebrate, and that's how we follow the wheel of the years, by celebrating these different attributes in our yearly life, and as it progresses, each year is the same, but it's yet different.
So do you have special rituals for each quarter?
Yeah, and it depends on your tradition that you follow. Like I said, there's lots of different traditions. Something that I like to do at the winter solstice is I save a Yule log. And I save that until what we call Candlemas or Imbolc, and that's when you burn that, which is a festival of light, which is in February. It's usually around February 2nd. But you're taking all those hopes and wishes and dreams for the coming year, and you're holding it, and you're meditating over it, and you're putting all the hopes and dreams of your whole family in protection. And then you burn that at the Festival of Light at Imbolc in February, because that's when we are coming out of the winter at that time. And so it becomes another Festival of Light. helps keep us from being dark and depressed in the rain that we have so much here in the harbor. But yeah. We're grateful for, because that's how we have so much green trees and grass and plants and
wonderful gardens. So what about Halloween? Is that a special pagan holiday?
Well, Halloween is a manufactured holiday by corporates and candy factories.
Right.
So no, Halloween is not a pagan holiday. Right. But we have a Samhain, and that is our holiday, and corresponds, happens to be on the same day. So for us, that is when the veil is the thinnest. That's when, for myself, I kind of go into a more restful period in my life, and I actually will take this time to express gratitude to my ancestors, to ask them for the guidance that I may do a lot more meditation at this time of the year. I'll do some preparation in preparing an altar with things that are special, pictures of ancestors or things that ancestors specifically that I work closely with or feel a connection with. I'll prepare this as a special altar at this time of the year. I celebrate Halloween because I love the costumes. I love the celebration of Halloween, and so I take that opportunity to pull out all my black wear and all of my fun stuff, and I have fun with it too. But there's the private side is a lot different than Halloween.
Yeah.
When do you think we changed from having this way of appreciating and our belief system, and when do you think that like changed to where we are now? Or is that kind of like an unfair question to even ask?
I think it's a really deep question.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of folks have, you know, that have studied history and understanding that when we came into the industrial age,
mm-hmm.
we came away from the land a lot. People left the land and went into the cities to work in the cities.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that was, they had no choice. They
right.
had to feed their families.
Yes.
You know, or they had to travel to a new land.
Mm-hmm.
And so they came away from their culture, their land,
the family support.
Right.
We came away from that separate. We separated ourselves from our families, from our connections, from our history, and became individual people. And we're forced, you know, even our small unit families, we're forced to only support ourselves and focus on ourselves. And I think that a lot of paganism has come from, it's an earth-based, and working with your family and working in a community and supporting the entire village through the entire season, the wheel of the year, is important. And with that connection doesn't exist necessarily any longer in industrial America and industrial world.
Yeah.
When I hear the word pagan, I keep thinking that movie with Dan Aykroyd, Dr. Detroit. You remember that movie, Dr. Detroit, with Dan Aykroyd? They have these people in, what are they, like goat chaps and weird masks, and they're running around. I mean, it's a silly kind of,
that's
a silly thing. Remember?
Dragnet.
Was it Dragnet?
Dragnet.
Okay,
Dragnet.
I was thinking Dr. Detroit for some reason. But
same guys, different show.
Right, different show. Thanks, Bill. But it's not that, right? Being a pagan isn't that. Dancing around a bucket of blood in the full moon and things. Can you explain a little more about what that is for the ignorant like myself?
It can exist. It does exist, and sometimes it can be fun.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't necessarily have to include the blood, but that there was a time, Vikings, they did blood rituals. It was for a reason. It was to thank the sacrifice of the animal that they were consuming.
Mm-hmm.
It had nothing to do with taking the life of something, but you were consuming it and you were thanking that animal for that sacrifice to sustain your family, to sustain your community. And that was misconstrued, and that was demonized.
We understand that history, and part of this group is also helping people understand that, you know, that we're not evil and we're not sacrificing animals and virgins and all that kind of stuff. It's more about honoring the earth, connecting to the earth and to the universal energy, and that we all have the ability to tap into that and to heal ourselves and others.
Have you read his book by chance? Because he talks, that sounds awful familiar.
No.
It's called If Morning Never Comes by Bill Vandenbush. And it's about my first big near-death experience, which I had on the battlefield in Vietnam. Believe it or not, I have no vocal cords. I was shot through the neck. I'm probably the only guy on the radio and television that have no vocal cords. Technically, I should not be able to speak, but I do. And I attribute that to that energy you talk about, the energy of the universe. And when I was out of my body in these near-death experiences, I experienced that energy in a very positive way and was able to then apply all of that that I learned on the other side about the healing energy and the light and, our purpose here on Earth, and to carry that forward and to heal myself and then to help others heal.
Yeah, so many people have had those experiences, and from what I understand, most people... even though a lot of times it was something traumatic that brought them to the near-death experience, they feel it, they see it more as a blessing in their lives, because most change their lives and they live it a different way because they've been given a second chance.
Yeah.
And they, right, and they understand their purpose here in a more clear way. And I think a lot of us are attracted to these traditions because we understand that, or we come to understand that, whether it's through an NDE or it's through a trauma that we experienced, or it's through just not fitting in.
Yeah.
And then understanding and then being educated, and whether it's working through Reiki energy where you tap into that universal energy to heal yourself and others, and understanding that it's a powerful tool that it is available to all of us.
All of us.
Yes.
Everyone.
Yes, and you don't have to have an NDE in order to tap into that energy.
Exactly.
And it's okay, and it's safe, you know, for you to do to do this work.
And it's true. You don't, you know, people who have NDEs, people who have negative experiences in life, sometimes have these experiences and they have this awakening.
Yeah.
And but you don't have to. You don't have to have those negative experiences.
Right. Yeah.
I spoke to a lady once who, she had what we called a near-death experience, but she wasn't near death. She said she was just out in the wilderness, and suddenly, boom, the white light came, and she was there and trying to figure out what it was, and then she understood that she was getting this message from the universe,
right,
that she needed to make some change in her life.
Yeah, and using skills like that, which is a lot of times is referred to an out-of-body experience,
yeah,
or an OBE, you know, that's what a lot of these traditions or pagan belief systems, that's what they were about, was connecting, whether it's using a shamanic drum or a rattle or you're dancing for 24 hours to get to that heightened state where you can connect with that energy of the universe. There's lots of different avenues where we can tap into that energy.
Yeah.
And that's why there's all these different paths, because they're from all these different indigenous peoples all over the world.
Yeah.
So they all have their own little flavor. And a lot of us have started to understand that it's okay for us to tap into our ancestors and to honor them. So what's been awesome about DNA is we get to find out who all of our ancestors are.
Yeah.
And so, and then that helps you have that deeper connection and a deeper spiritual connection, where you could connect back to those people that you come from. I'm a Heinz 57 and come and have roots that are Native American and Danish and Sami, which is the indigenous people of Scandinavia and Eastern Europe, and all these different peoples that made up me, and I can connect to the indigenous spiritual traditions of all those paths, and that's what has formed my path. Not everybody does that, but that's what works for me.
Right.
Like I said, everybody's an individual and is on their own individual journey. It's not my place to tell somebody that their path is wrong.
That's right.
As long as they're not infringing on mine and not letting me, you know, not stopping me from doing mine, all power to them.
You know, it seems that today we're trying to be so universal in that we all want to be the same. But we're not the same. We're all different.
Yeah, and it's okay to highlight those differences.
But we need to celebrate the differences instead of thinking of them as negative, of wanting to people to be like us, and not just in appearance, but in action and thought. You know, there are different thoughts, there are different actions, and it's about accepting all of that and coming together and working together and understanding the love of the universe, the energy that comes to us through that love, and the energy that we can share. I read this book one time that talked about love, and it said that love is something that you give, not something that you get.
Right.
And it took me a while to kind of figure that out. I really had to think about it for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Years, in fact. But it kept coming back to me. Love is something you give, not something that you get. But we all want to get love.
Right.
But when I started understanding that when you give love, you actually replenish the love that you have to give.
Yeah.
And you have more and more, and you feel better and better.
Yeah.
And you begin to love yourself more.
Yeah.
And this is such an interesting concept, this giving of energy, of love, and then having that replenished. But it depends on where you give it. It also has to be, the love has to be accepted and understood by the other person. I think that celebrating what you're doing by celebrating people and celebrating the universe and the love and the rituals that you do that bring that energy, you know, into our lives, we need so much more of that.
I mean,
so very much more.
Yeah.
If we could all get back to that place. You know, and you know, you were talking about it earlier, back with our ancestors. I come from a long line of dairy farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And although I've never lived on a dairy farm, I was born in Southern California, in Los Angeles. So it's about as far away from dairy farms as you can get. And I lived there most of my life and most of my young life. But we would go every summer and visit my aunts and uncles on the farm, and I thought how peaceful it is to be on the farm, to work with the animals, to care about the animals, to feed them and nourish them, to feed and nourish the ground so that it grows crops, and to celebrate that. Now, they were devout Catholics, most of my family, but they still, when a calf was born, they would gather around and give love to that calf. And when it was time to bring the harvest in, you know, they would say a prayer and, you know, bless the harvest.
Yeah.
I don't think it really had anything to do with Catholicism.
No, it doesn't have anything to do with the names. It's the energy.
It's the energy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, quite interesting. So, once again, let's talk about your event here. And if I were to come to your event, exactly what could I expect to walk away with if I was open-minded?
Open-minded, I think that you would find a sense of community, a sense of gratitude, an excitement for new endeavors, new people. You would talk with wonderful individuals, learning the benefits of natural products, being excited about someone's own interpretation of what is art. I think that you could enjoy the opportunity of creating something yourself by having people share with you a skill, and I think it would be a time of joy and laughter and fun.
Yeah.
And I think it could be a healing for people. that...
And I wouldn't have to know anything about paganism or any of these rituals.
No.
I could learn while I'm there and get information.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and we try to make sure that it's a family-friendly environment, that it's LGBTQ friendly environment, that it's a safe space for you to learn about these things and to experience different cultures and traditions and to not feel pressured and to maybe go have your first tarot reading that you've never had before, you know, and to come away with a new experience in your life and appreciation of all these wonderful people that are living, that are
right
your neighbors.
Yeah. Sometimes we have similar events in Ocean Shores. I don't remember what they call it, but I'm always amazed to see the people that go there, because they're not always the people that I thought would go to that.
Right, exactly. Yeah. We get surprised, too.
Yeah.
Every time, every event.
We say, oh, you're one, too?
Yeah. And knowing our events are quarterly, introducing next year, we have January 19th, April 19th, July 19th, and October 18th. We'll be right there at the shops at the Riverside. Those events, and I'd like to invite you to visit our website at starshinegathering.org, and we follow us on Facebook. We are spotlighting all of our vendors and attendees that we're bringing in. All of our healers and workers are being spotlighted over the next 2 weeks, and encouraging and letting you know and meet those people and maybe look for their faces, and you can find them there with us.
Awesome.
On October 20th.
Awesome. And this is an event where you give back to the community.
Yes, absolutely.
That this is not an event where, you know, everybody is trying to line their own pockets. And
no, sir, we are a nonprofit. Starshine Gathering is a nonprofit. We worked hard. We have a committee of local people here. We're accountable. Each event is a donation for nonprofit in this community. Revival of Grace Harbor County is our present. We're, again, gathering coats, gloves. All of that will be returned right into the community. And any profit that we do acquire from our vendor fee, which is very, very small in comparison, we charge that just for our overheads, for our flyers, for those kind of things that we have to announce and to bring awareness about us. All of that, we donate over half of that portion to our nonprofit at each event as well.
Awesome. That's awesome. You know, I love events that give back to the community, especially here in Grace Harbor. Grace Harbor is probably one of the most economically depressed areas in the state of Washington. We have a very wealthy state, and yet we have areas like this that we're separated from the mainstream a little bit, and we don't always get the benefits that the bigger cities get. So
yeah, that's why we try to charge a very low vendor fee for all of our vendors. Our vendor fee is only $10 for a 10 by 10 space, which is really unheard of.
Absolutely.
And we do that on purpose, because it's not about us making money. It's about us being able to feature all of these wonderful artists and craftspeople to the community.
Right.
So it's not, like I said, it's not about us making money. It's about just making enough to do the next event.
Yeah. So if somebody wanted to be a vendor at your event, what would they have to do?
They could just go onto our Facebook page, which is Starshine Gathering, or go to starshinegathering.org, which is our website. They can contact us either way.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. Man, the time just zipped by.
It just flew by. Yeah.
They're like, good, it's over. The event's October 20th. It starts at 10 a.m., right?
Yes.
Shops at Riverside. What room is it again?
Suite 20.
Suite 20. And next Sears.
Yeah, we're the door's outside, but it's right at the entrance where you would go in to go into Sears. And
okay.
The part of the mall.
We'll have signs.
We'll have signs everywhere.
Everywhere.
Awesome.
Yes. Please come and join us.
Anything else? You good?
I'm good.
You good? I'm good.
The only thing we gotta say is stay strange.
Stay strange. Stay strange.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.